The following is a production of Vanderbilt's Owen Graduate School of Management. For more information about Owen, please visit owen.vanderbilt.edu.
This is Rob Simbeck for the Owen Graduate School of Management at Vanderbilt. I'm talking today with Assistant Professor of Finance, Alexey Ovchinnikov, about the often murky world of campaign contributions. Professor Ovchinnikov and two colleagues have formally studied a relationship most of us suspect. The corporate support of political candidates has tangible payoffs. In a study called Corporate Political Contributions and Stock Returns, they looked at more than 750,000 contributions from 1,500 companies and then studied the fortunes of those companies afterward. Their findings bring hard data to a subject that gets a lot of attention but little real analysis, and the results may not surprise you. Alexey, welcome.
Thank you.
What exactly did you look at with this study?
We looked at the relationship between firms making hard money political contributions and stock return, and as well as we also looked at the hard money contributions of firms and firms' operating performance. Those were the two main metrics that we used in our study.
So let's go to the big question. Is contributing to political candidates good for a company's bottom line?
Our evidence suggests that yes, it's very good for the company's bottom line. Whether we use, again, stock returns to measure firm performance or operating performance, we find evidence that making hard money political contributions increases firms' returns, whether it's stock prices or return on equity.
Now, does it break down by industry? Are there certain economic sectors that are more likely to do this and to benefit?
That's a very good question. We do find significant differences across industries. And as one may suspect, certain industries are much more likely to participate in the political process. So, for example, the biggest industry in our sample is defense. So defense companies are much more likely to participate than, let's say, software companies, for example. We also find that certain industries appear to be rewarded to a great extent for participating in the political process. So, for example, industries that sell a lot of their output to the government, for example. Industries that are characterized by heavy presence of labor unions, industries with few firms, and industries with concentrated sales. All of these industry characteristics appear to be correlated with the benefit that firms in those industries derive from being politically connected.
And did you stick with things like return, actual dollars, or other tangible benefits that are related to contribution somehow?
In this paper, we really focused mostly on stock returns. We did look at measures of operating performance, and we used return on equity, or actual changes in return on equity, as a measure of operating performance. But for the majority of the paper, we focused on stock returns, risk-adjusted stock returns.
So what kind of strategies seem to work in terms of who you give to? How many candidates, how much money?
That's an interesting question. Well, first of all, it was a little surprising, at least to me, to find out that firms appear to be contributing across the board to both political parties, the Republicans and Democrats, as well as to both chambers, the Senate and the House of Representatives. We do find that Republicans appear to receive more money on average per firm, and also more firms appear to contribute to Republicans than to Democrats. And we also find a higher contribution effect for House versus the Senate. Having said that, in terms of the benefit from contributing, firms appear to benefit by contributing more to Democrats and to House of Representatives candidates, as well as firms making contributions to what we call home candidates, or candidates from the firm's home state. Again, those contributions appear to pay off especially.
Mm-hmm. And now, what percentage of companies actually take advantage of this kind of system, if we know it works?
Among all the publicly traded companies, less than 10%, about 9.5% of all the companies are involved in this political process, according to our study.
Now, did you go to any reasons at all, or was it simply correlations again?
You know, we used some of the political science literature to kind of motivate and think about what kinds of benefits the firms may actually derive. We didn't explicitly test for any reasons in this study, which of course then gives us reasons to pursue this area further. But we suspect that firms may enjoy preferential access to external capital markets. Firms are perhaps more likely to be bailed out in case of financial difficulties. We could envision situations where firms may benefit from obtaining government contracts or obtaining preferential tax treatment. Certain trade policy may actually be beneficial to firms. So there's a number of different dimensions along which firms can actually benefit from being politically connected. Having, close to 900,000 contributions in our sample, it was impossible in this study to really dissect all of the possible links that exist between the firms and specific legislative behavior, let's say. But this is something that we're actively pursuing in subsequent work at this point.
And are there any drawbacks that you've run across to or hidden costs to a company's participation like this?
We haven't come across any. That doesn't necessarily suggest, of course, that there are any. It's just we haven't really observed any explicitly at this point.
And have you taken the circle out in terms of things like, if I'm an investor, how might I look at this study?
Well, if you're an investor, it certainly seems like it's a valuable information to have when making portfolio decisions because, again, we try to do a good and careful job controlling for known risk characteristics of these stocks, and it appears that these stocks on a risk-adjusted basis earn superior returns. So an investor who wants to maximize his or her portfolio returns, it seems like this would be an important variable to consider when devising a portfolio strategy.
You've talked in a couple of instances about where you might go from here. Can you give us sort of the big picture of where you want to go with the study?
Well, the big picture, what we're trying to pursue is a question of whether the legislative behavior is affected by firms' lobbying efforts. So this is quite a large area in the political science literature, whether lobbying by special interest groups can actually affect legislative outcomes. We're trying to contribute to this literature, and we believe that we really have the ability to provide new insights because we have such a broad cross-section of firms that are participating in the political process, as well as we have 26 years worth of contributions data. So we can study specific legislative behavior of firms or even entire industries. So this is very high on my research agenda at this point right now, is to try to really kind of dig in and try to understand further whether it's possible for firms to affect the legislative behavior through their lobbying efforts.
And finally, I guess on a personal note, you and your colleagues, any discussions that helped make you more or less cynical, or is it simply an academic exercise?
Well, at this point right now, I have a purely academic interest in this. I guess I wasn't too surprised about the results because, again, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence in the popular press and in the media about firms being politically connected. But I think the real value of our study is to provide systematic cross-sectional evidence on how widespread this phenomenon is and what kind of, the magnitude of the impact that this behavior firms has on their bottom line. But even though the results were somewhat expected, I guess we were pleasantly surprised that we could actually find very, systematic evidence of this kind of behavior.
Thank you, Alexei. Alexei Ovchinnikov is Assistant Professor of Finance at the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. For Owen, this is Rob Simbeck.
Thank you.